You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 161, and it's also the first episode of a new year, 2015. So if you're listening to this in real time rather than scrolling back and listening to past episodes, happy new year, happy 2015. And I thought, because it's the first episode of a new year, rather than our usual format, and our usual format is to have a guest on the show with a dream to be interpreted, instead of doing that, we'll just lay some foundations today, being the beginning of a new year. So specifically, I'm going to look at some blog articles that I've written in the past. And the first one is a story that really is about getting our foundations right as we begin a new year or as we begin any new phase in our life and how our dreams can help us with that. Then the next one is looking a little bit more about how to use our dreams and how to kind of get an overview about what our dreams mean. If you're not going for an in-depth consultation with me, this can be a very good pointer for you to go through. And then lastly, we'll be looking at, you know, we have so many dreams. We don't always remember them all, but sometimes we do. And which dream do you start? If you're going to start by really exploring one dream deeply, which one do you start with for the best outcomes? We'll be finishing on that. So before we get into all of that, just in case you haven't been to any of my websites or my blog recently, they're always changing. The website address is dream.net.au. The blog, which is probably the most interesting and active place, is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. The dream store, janetheresaanderson.com. Or find me on Facebook. There are two different Facebook pages, a like one and a friendly follow one. So, but in the meantime, if The Dream Show is what you like and listening to episodes of The Dream Show is what you like, go to my blog, janetheresa.com, click on podcasts or click on The Dream Show, and you can listen back to all of these. That is 161 episodes, most of which, particularly when we have a guest on the show, are more like an hour long. Today's is slightly shorter. The first old blog article is not so old. It's actually one I wrote this year already, a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Sliding Doors and Spooky Tales. This little cupboard has moved from house to house within our family for years, and we've always forgiven it for its one fault: doors that open whenever you walk past. The bolt that is designed to keep the doors closed is too short for the task, losing its grip and slipping out at the slightest vibration. The cupboard belongs to my son Ewan and his wife Natalie, but from time to time when they're overseas, it graces a corner in our home, as it does now. "I could fix it with a strip of Velcro," said Ewan, steadying the cupboard into place earlier this month. "I don't know why I haven't thought of that before. Glue a strip of Velcro on the inside top edge of each door to hold them onto the cupboard frame." "Or magnets," I added, warming to the theme. Past solutions have been more temporary. A cocktail stick or feather threaded into the latch to hold the bolt a little tighter. Or a wad of paper, wedge of cardboard, hair clip, rubber band, piece of string, or silk ribbon bow, none of which really worked. I found some magnets, and several experiments later we were no closer to an adequate solution. We stood back and thought again. "We could tip the cupboard back a bit," we announced together. "A good idea, that. Let gravity help us out." "Or file down the back legs," suggested Ewan. "Then the cupboard would still look straight." Aha, we looked at each other and laughed. Ewan found his spirit level app and did the measurement. The cupboard wasn't level. It was leaning slightly forward, imperceptible to the eye, but enough for gravity to pull on the doors and pop the short bolt aside whenever we walked past. So that was the plan. Ewan would file down the back legs so the cupboard would sit straight and level and the doors would remain closed. We flipped the cupboard upside down. There on each of its back legs was a white plastic grommet. There on each of its front legs was a telltale hole where screws had once held grommets in place. No wonder the cupboard wasn't level. We didn't need Velcros, magnets, cocktail sticks, feathers, wads of paper, wedges of cardboard, hair clips, rubber bands, pieces of string, silk ribbon bows, or a saw to file down the back legs. We just needed two grommets for the front legs. Better still, Ewan simply snapped the grommets from the back legs and popped them onto the front legs so the cupboard leans ever so slightly backwards, imperceptible to the eye, taking all pressure off the short bolt. Which all goes to show, we thought, standing back from the big picture, that the way to solve a problem is to get down to basics. Fix the foundation upon which everything else depends. In life, it's easy to get fixated on the problem you see and to try to fix it at that level rather than to explore the foundation of the problem. The problem may relate to a house built on sand, a business built on unserviceable debt, a relationship built on undisclosed expectations, a health regime built on inadequate nutrition, a project built on self-doubt, or a way of life built on narrow vision. Now, the house may be a perfectly fine house if built on rock, the business profitable if financed without debt, the relationship rewarding if expectations are negotiated, the health regime healing if supported nutritionally, the project successful if energized by confidence, and the way of life richer if built on broader vision. While it might be easy to point to the sand as the problem foundation for the house or the unserviceable debt as a problem foundation for the business, it's not so easy to notice self-doubt, narrow vision, or undisclosed expectations as foundations for other problems in our lives. We didn't know about the missing grommets until we turned the cupboard upside down. Many of our foundation beliefs about life are unconscious, deeply programmed during our early years. We make choices and take actions, or hold back from taking actions, based on those unconscious beliefs. Some of those unconscious beliefs are good, and some not so good. The not so good beliefs may be the source of a problem in your life in the same way as the missing grommets caused the problem of the cupboard doors swinging open whenever we walked past. When you become aware of those not so good beliefs, you can replace them with better beliefs in the same way that we became aware of the missing grommets and replaced them. Dream analysis offers one of the best avenues for discovering unconscious beliefs. And dream alchemy, one of the best methods of replacing not-so-good beliefs with better ones. I'm reminded of a spooky and true story here, and I think you'll enjoy it. Years ago, Michael and I spent a few weeks on an isolated 50-acre property, looking after someone's house while they were away, testing to see if the lifestyle would suit us. The house is haunted, by the way, the owner said, but you'll be okay. You'll notice doors opening by themselves, that's all. There was a concertina door into the bathroom, and as often as I left it closed, I would return to see it wide open. I decided the floor was probably slanted, causing the lightweight door to slip slowly open over a period of time. Or maybe an animal, a cat, a lizard, a snake was responsible. One morning, I got out of bed and went into the kitchen to make a cup of tea. I nearly jumped out of my skin when I saw the microwave oven door wide open. It takes force to open a microwave oven door. You've got to press the latch, pull it back. No cat, lizard, or snake that I know of is capable of that. I felt goosebumps run up my arms as I made the tea. I took Michael's tea into the bedroom and told him about the microwave oven door. Maybe the house is haunted after all, I said. Up until then, I hadn't believed in ghosts playing around with doors to spook the living. Now, I wasn't so sure. Michael's reaction was completely different to what I had expected. "I got up in the middle of the night," he said, "and it was so dark that I opened the microwave oven door so I could see by its interior light." Was the house haunted? I don't know, but we were very glad to leave and return to our life in the inner city. Our unconscious beliefs can haunt us, invisibly guiding our choices, spookily opening and closing doors to opportunities. Understanding your dreams can help you become aware of those beliefs and to make conscious choices to build firm, positive foundations for the opportunities you would like to embrace. So that was that one. And the one that I thought that led naturally to was a blog article I wrote sometime during last year, 2014. I forgot to take a note about when it was, but I think it was about, I know, maybe August 2014. It's called Even Mountains Flow. Even Mountains Flow. Yesterday, I posted a quote, "Even Mountains Flow," to Facebook. Did you see it? What does it mean to you? Did it linger in your mind during the day? Did you return to it, ponder it, come up with different interpretations for it? How do mountains flow in the physical world? Count the ways before listening on. Press pause, have a think. How do mountains flow in the physical world? We might think of mountains as solid, reliably static, defining features of our landscape. We might chip away at them, quarrying rock, building roads, blasting tunnels, but still think of the mountain itself as firmly anchored, holding its place. In the physical world, a mountain flows naturally on a grand scale when it's an erupting volcano, or rumbling and shifting during an earthquake, or dissolving in torrential mudslide. On a smaller scale, it flows as it erodes, tumbling boulders and pebbles, or fine particles of wind-blown, foot-trodden, rain-washed sand. It flows, shifts, changes over time. Over aeons, mountains grow, move, change shape and erase. They flow across the planet, into and out of existence. A mountain also flows with plant and animal life, with the changing seasons, with rivers and waterfalls, with melting ice, with new life after fire. It flows grass and wild flowers around the edges and over man's digging, building, tunneling and treading. It flows to reclaim, heal and find new ways of expressive being. Of course, you know that my writing is about our inner life and dreams, so you're probably already flowing ahead of me. As you contemplate the apparently immovable flowing, as you count the ways in which even mountains flow, your inner world is responding to the suggestions offered by the metaphor. You may not yet be consciously aware of this process, or you may already be beginning to notice some feelings, urgings, new ideas and perspectives popping into your mind where before there was resistance to change. Life is change, and change is life. There are many ways to go with the flow and to choose how to experience it, and there are many ways to observe the flow and decide on a change of course. Dreams, dreams, yes, I hear you. Many of our dreams are metaphors for the ways we handle life. The dreaming mind or brain processes our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last couple of days, compares these to our past experiences, and updates our mindset accordingly. The part of the brain that deals with this is better at metaphors than logic. If you dream of running from an overwhelming tsunami, ask yourself where in your life in the last couple of days that metaphor applies. If you dream of being confronted by a snarling wolf, where does that metaphor apply? If you can identify a metaphor in your dream and the parallel situation in your life, explore the dream metaphor. Open it up and find ways of looking at it from different angles. Find lots of solutions to the dream problem. Explore how you might tame the tsunami. Fly above it. Delve into it and ride it. Soothe it into calm. Promise to sit down and listen to what it has to say and work out a way to deal with it. Or surrender to it. Or heal it. It's a metaphor, so you don't have to be logical. As you explore and work with a metaphor in this way, you are simultaneously exploring and working with a parallel situation in your life. Your perspectives will shift, feelings will emerge, new approaches will occur to you, new solutions will present themselves, and you will notice that you begin to automatically respond to the life situation in better ways. Yes, this is a form of dream alchemy, and it can powerfully shift the apparently immovable. Even mountains flow, so you can too. And finally, from the writerly, slightly more poetic, which I really do enjoy writing, even though it has a practical application, I'm finishing with a very practical blog. This one's called Choosing a Dream. So I hope that I've got you all excited now about which dream to begin working with, whether you're working with it yourself or whether you're going to choose to bring it to me in a consultation. And I don't know, I forgot also to note when I wrote this blog. So I think it was probably about a year ago, if you want to look up on the blog and find the original version of this dream interpretation, Choosing a Dream. How do I know which dream to start with? Emailed Tim, eager to begin applying some of my techniques. Tim remembers 4 or 5 dreams a night and realizes that working in depth with one dream a day would be too much. I was hoping you might answer my question in a blog, she said. When was the last time you worked deeply with a dream? If it's been a while, or if you're a beginner and wondering where to start, here's my top priority list. And this top priority list is in no particular order. Number one, a recurring dream or recurring dream theme. If you have a recurring dream or recurring dream theme with an unresolved or unsatisfactory ending, and you've had the dream within the last few weeks, that's the most powerful place to begin. Dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days, so every time you have the recurring dream or theme, it's reflecting a recurring waking life issue that's not working out well for you. So working with this dream, you can identify the issue, your inner conflicts about the issue, which may surprise you, the usual approaches you try that fail, and the unconscious beliefs that are blocking you from resolving it successfully. The next category of dream that you might like to work with and make a priority is an emotionally charged dream. That's a dream in which you feel a heightened emotion, especially an uncomfortable emotion. It's invaluable to work with a dream like this. The emotion is usually linked to an unconscious belief or behavior pattern that is restricting your growth. This kind of dream can help you to identify an emotional event in your past that is still affecting your life today. And when you apply dream alchemy techniques, this can lead to powerful release and healing. The third kind of dream that you might pinpoint to work with is a vivid dream. An uplifting, colourful, intense, vivid dream often reflects a breakthrough or a near breakthrough, and working with such a dream can support you as the effects of the change ripple through your life in unexpected ways. It's also good to understand, affirm, and celebrate the changes these dreams herald, and to prepare yourself for some strong emotions that may take you by surprise as they are released as part of the process. The next category of dream you might like to look out for and choose to work with is a dream that poses a problem or question. Now, most dreams involve trying to solve a problem or find an answer to a question, and these reflect a waking life problem or question you're trying to solve. It takes work to relate the dream problem to the waking life problem because dreams are symbolic. But you can do this, and we can do it together. So look for a dream with a bizarre problem or question. The more surreal, the better. And then we can work with this to question your question and understand why you see a particular situation as a problem. It can help you shift perspective and find new solutions. In fact, it can totally transform your life to work with a dream like this. The next category is a dream that refers to the past. So although dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days, they may include references to the past, like your childhood home or ex-partners, people or places you once knew. And these dreams can help you to go back to see how your past is still shaping your present and to work with dream alchemy to change this. So although your dreams do reflect the last 1 to 2 days, what they're doing sometimes is the feelings and emotions that you're processing about the last 1 to 2 days trigger events and memories and emotions from the past. And that's why you see, say, a childhood home or an ex-partner or something from the past. So that's why those dreams are really important. Something from the past is holding you back. And the next category, the next thing I wrote down here is a night of dreams. And I've said, don't be too quick to choose just one dream from a heavy night's dream recall. Those 4 or 5 dreams you may remember from one night's sleep often reflect the same situation from different angles. So it can be valuable to take 4 or 5 dreams that you've had on one night that you've remembered and kind of clump those together and work with those. Or finally, just begin. Just choose a dream from last night. You know, the one that's still haunting you. It's reflecting the last 1 to 2 days, so it's fresh comment and ripe with insight for you to discover on whatever you're going through right now. And if you're still not sure how to begin, if deeply working with a dream on your own just seems too daunting, book a consultation with me. And there's plenty of options, and it's much more fun to do it with somebody who knows what they're doing. That's me holding your hand and walking that path with you. And you can find out all about that on any of my sites. But probably the quickest way is to go to my dream store, which is janetheresaanderson.com, and click on consultations. So that's it. More than enough food for thought, and hopefully motivation in January, this first month of a lovely new year, to get you thinking more about your dreams if you're not already thinking deeply, and perhaps plunging in and exploring your dreams in ways that you haven't done before. So those website addresses again, dream.net.au. Probably the best one to go to, my blog, janetheresa.com, the dream store at janetheresaanderson.com, or find me on Facebook, which will direct you to all of the above. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. The next one, episode 162, will be due out on Friday the 6th of March. And if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to my blog, click on The Dream Show or click on podcasts, and there's a simple form you can fill in there to basically put up your hand and say, I'd love to be a guest on the show and have you interpret my dream. Meanwhile, please do share this episode and all the others with everybody you know who's interested in dreams, which is kind of everybody who's really interested in their life and how to improve their life, I think, or it should be. Have a lovely month, and I'll talk to you next month. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.